Okay, good. And Chodesh today is Daf. Daf Yechetz. Right. So, sorry. Today is Daf Yud Zayin. Today is Daf Yud Zayin. We are on Tet Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So the previous mentioned that there were 13 hishtachavayos, 13 frustrations in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah asks, Heichon hayu hishtachavayos ha'elu? Where did these frustrations take place? So the Mishnah says, Arba b'tzafon, there were four that were done in the north of the courtyard. The Arba b'dorim, four in the south, which is eight. Three in the Mizrach, and Shtayim b'marav. That makes 13. And they are all done, Kineged shlosha asar sha'arim. They were all done next to the 13, facing the 13 gates of the courtyard. So now the Mishnah explains, what are the 13 gates of the courtyard? So you have to remember, number one, you have to remember that we're looking at a plane that is going, when you enter from the east, you're going east to west. You're going east to west in the Beis HaMikdash when you come in. Kotel is the west, right? You're going east to west when you come in. You have the southern wall excavations on the south side, and the north side is on the other side where the Muslims are. And the Beis HaMikdash also was a kind of raised as it went west. It was raised on the mountain. Shlosha Asar Sha'arim. Kinega Shlosha Asarim, which was Deromim Smuchim Lama'arav. So on the the southern ones, which are listed going from west to east. So you're on the southern wall, all the way to the west, coming back down east towards the entrance. So the first one is Shara Elyon. That is considered the upper gate, because that's the highest point. Shara Elyon. Then you have what's called the Shar Hadelek, which is the gate of the kindling. I guess that's where they would bring the wood through there. Shar HaBechoros. And then that you had the Shar HaBechoros, the gate of the firstborn, through which the Kohanim would bring the Bechoros for Korbanos. Because you're allowed to shecht. Are you allowed to shecht the Bechoros on the southern side? Is that true? I think so. All right, that's number three. And then, you got Shar Elyon, Shar Delek, Shar Bechoros, Shahar Hamayim. And then you had the Gate of the Water. That's the Gate of the Water. That's four. V'lama nikra shmo Shar Hamayim. Why is it called Shar Hamayim? Because that's Shabo Machnisin Silochis Shal Nisuch Hamayim B'chag. That's where they would bring in the vial of water that's used for the Nisuch Hamayim, for the water libation, which took place on Sukkos. Right, they would take the water from the pool of Siloam all the way down there on the southern side. They would bring it through the Beis HaMikdash through this gate. Okay, Rabbi Lezer Omer, he gives a different reason. He says, Bo Hamayim Mifakim V'asidim Lios Yotzim Mitachas Mitan Abayis. There's a different reason for the name. It's called the Gate of the Water, the Shar Hamayim, because through it, water is going to trickle. He uses the word Mifakim, means that it's going to trickle, right, in the future. Right, the water will increase. There's going to be, in the future, there's going to be a river or a flow of water going through the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to, I guess over here, that's where it's going to come out into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's on the south, the southern side, starting west to east. Now, on the opposite side, on the northern side, we said there was another four. Lumasam Atzaf and Smukim B'Marav, we have another four. We have Shar Yechonya, the gate of Yechonya, Shar HaKarbon, the gate of the Karbon, I guess that's where they would bring the Kachay Kachim, we'll go through there. Shar HaNashim and Shar HaShir, the gate of the women and the gate of the song. The gate of the women, as they say, is that's where they would put Hitzon. That they said that they would put the women would put their hands through to do smicha on the korbanos. And then Shar HaShir, that's the place where they would bring the musical instruments through the into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The Lama Nikra Shmo Shar Yechanya. So why is this called Shar Yechanya? Because Shabo Yotza Yechanya Begaluso. It's through this gate that Yechonya went out to his galus. Right before Yechonya was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, right to Babel, he came to say goodbye to the Beis HaMikdash, and this is the gate that he left through this gate. And you have the chronology issues. So what was it called before Yechonya went out of the Beis HaMikdash? So that's okay. It depends on when the Mishnah is being written, what time period.
Let me ask a question: did they have 13 in the first Beis HaMikdash?
Right. Yechonya was during the first Beis. That's a good question. What are they talking about over here? First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. So that was the gate that Yechonya went out. Yechonya went out during the first Beis HaMikdash.
Correct. They always.
I know.
Whatever you see is.
Usually you're right. Yeah. Now Sheba Mizrach. Now we go down to the Mizrach, right? So the Mizrach going into the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember, we're not talking about the Ezra's Nashim, talking about going actually into the courtyard. So the Mizbah, you had Shara had Nicanor, you had the gate of Nicanor, one was named after Nicanor. Two stories whether Nicanor was really a good guy or wasn't such a good guy. But we will have a story where he was a lot of Monsieur Snafish to bring these gates from Alexandria. Shara and Nicanor. And Ushne Pishpishin Hayulo Echemino Echemismolo. And then it had these two, I guess, Pishpishmen, they say, or they call them as wickets. But they're small doors. There's this big gate and there's small doors on the side. Okay, so that's what it was. These two, well, they say that's machlokas here as to whether or not the door was within the Shaar HaNicanor or on the sides of the Shaar HaNicanor. Okay, so you had these. Otherwise, known as Pishpishin. Right? The word exists in Syriac with the same meaning, a small door within a large door. Okay. So, Ushnayim b'ma'arav, and the two on the western side, all the way on the top of the western side, Lo Hayula Henshein. They did not have a name. Okay, Gemara says, Masnisin, our Mishnah that said that there are 13 gates in the courtyard, that this Mishnah goes according to Masnisin Abba Yosef ibn Yochanan. This Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Abba Yosef ibn Yochanan, who says in the Mishnah in Midos, in Perek Beis, that 13 bowing down, the 13 prostrations were done, the Amar Keneged Shlosha Asher Sha'arim. The 13 was against the 13, Keneged the 13 gates. However, Baram, Kirabanon, according to the Rabbanon, who says Shiva Sha'arim Hayuba Azara, who they claim that there are only 7 gates in the courtyard, Al Dasayu the Rabbanon, Heichon Hayuha Shtachavayus Elo, where do you have the 13 prostrations? It's a given, Corbinator points out, it's a given that there were 13, they bowed down 13 times. According to Abba Yosef Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear, it's not a problem. They bow down every time they got, you know, going in and out of these gates. That's when they bow down. According to Rabbanon, with only 7 gates, where did you get the number 13 prostrations? So he says, Kahi de Sanein and Taman, that these Hishtachaveos correspond to what we learned in the Mishnah there. Again, this is the Mishnah in Midos, Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel, that says, Shlosh, right, I'm starting to kiss slave, so I guess we can mention this. In Yom Yom, Shlosh Esrei Paratzos Hayubo Sheparatzu Malchay Yavon. There were 13 breaches in the Sorig. The Sorig is like the lattice fence between the courtyard and the Haravayas. So Shlosh Esrei Paratzos Hayubo Sheparatzu Malchay Yavon. The Chazru Gadurum Ugdarum Bnei Chashmonai and the sons of the Hasmoneans. Right, they returned and they fenced in those breaches. The Chazru connected on Shlosh Esrei Yishtachavayos. And then they made a takana that you should bow down opposite any of these breaches. So I guess anyone who was around the courtyard, right, was around the courtyard, and he passed by any of these places where there was a breach, I guess that breach would be sealed. So I guess out of Hakara Satot or Kadosh Baruch Hu for getting rid of the control of the Yavanim over the base of the Migdash, and I guess all the religious decrees, so they would bow down. Okay? Next. Ksiv.
So this wasn't done at Amash, at Barang Janus, during, like, or something. It would be,
according to this, you walk there, you walk through them.
Walk in that area,
right.
Down.
Yeah. Okay. Ksiv. Now, mentioned the Mishnah that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said it was called Shaar HaMayim because in the future the water would trickle through, and that's where the water is going to trickle through there, and in the future it's going to increase from there. So he quotes a pasuk. Okay. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. It says, "V'hayu b'yom ahu yetsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim." And come to pass that in that day, living waters will go out from Jerusalem. Right? That's half towards the sea, half towards the western sea. Okay, so Tani, it was taught. The width of the water is going to be as thin as the antenna of these bugs, right? The silai and the kalai, or the snails, I'm sure they're snails or bugs. That's going to be a small trickle that's coming out. That's the width. Mina parochas ad mizbat chazohav. But from the parochas until we got to the Mizbeach Hazav, to the big golden altar, the stream will increase slightly. Kikarnei Chagovim. It's going to be like the size of the antenna of grasshoppers. Mizbeach Hazav ad Azoros, from the Mizbeach until the courtyards. Kichut shel sisi. Then it will increase to be the thickness of a thread that's on the warp. Right, the sisi is the warp of the loom. Then min Hazoros ad Miftan Habayis, from the courtyards to the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, the stream's going to widen, and it's going to be Chichot Shel Erev, and that's going to be the width of the woof, which is thicker than the thread of the warp, apparently. And then, from here onward, Mikan Ve'elach, Ki Mipi HaPach, the stream will reach a width that's going to be as wide as liquid poured from the mouth of a pach, of a pitcher, or a cruise, right, a pitcher of oil. Now the Gemara cites another brisa about this, and this is a quotation from Yecheskel, Perek Mem Zayin. Ksev hinei mayim mifakim min hakasef hayimanis b'tzeis ha'ish kadir v'kav yado v'yamad elef ha'amah v'yavreini b'mayim mei afsayim. And behold, there trickled forth waters on the right side when the man went forth eastward with the line in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were to the ankles. Okay, so this teaches us that from a distance of 1,000 cubits, the water continues. So from 1,000 amos going forward, the height of the water was ad karsula, up to the ankles. Vayomad elef, and then another 1,000 amos. Vayavrein b'mayim ebirchayim ad birachya. The next 1,000 amos, the water reached up to the knees. It's a big river. Vayomad elef, and another 1,000 amos passed. Right, by Yavreni Mei Masnayim, and then Ad Masnaya. Then it was up to right up to the midsection, up to the loins. I think that's what Masnayim means. Vikan the Elech, going further, after the next 1,000 amos, Nachal Shel Lo'ucha La'avor. It could continue, it got so deep that it was, you couldn't even pass through. Afidu Labranin Gedola Eini Yechola La'avor Ba. Even the Liburnian ship, however, the current was so strong, even this big ship could not pass through. I think it may be some sort of metaphor not necessarily for the water, but maybe it means for like Hakaros Hashem. When it's talking about the future, so in the future the recognition of Hashem is going to start slow, small, and then it's going to be so wide. Even all the guys are going to recognize Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now again, we quoted a pasuk in Zechariah, Yecheskel, and now we're going to Yeshaya. The Gemara seems to be saying they're all talking about the same thing about this stream of water. So now we quote the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Gimel. My taima, or I think my taima means what is the explanation, not what the reason, but what's the explanation? My taima, the pasuk, v'tzi adir lo ya'avrenu, that a big ship can't pass by. Mipnei ma, why not? Ki go hamayim mei sachu, for the waters were risen. Waters meisachu. Meisachu, I guess, they think it means that you swim, like a swimming water. So mahu meisachu, what does it mean, meisachu? Right? Milashut. It means that it flowed so fast, no one could swim. It flowed so fast that the ship couldn't pass it. I guess it couldn't deal with the current. It didn't have a motor. It couldn't deal with the current. Amar av huna v'asrin karu l'shaita Sachona. He said that in his location they called swimming Sachona. Okay? As the Pasuk says, Uferash Yodav Bikirbo, Kasher Yifares Hasochel Ischot. And when he said spread forth his hands in the midst, else as he who swims spreads forth his hands to swim. So he says that swimming is Lischot. Okay. Lischot.
That's
the Malhibu
word.
Schia. I remember in camp, that was on the calendar when he went to swimming. So now the Gemara says it gives an alternate explanation of what the word means. Sorry? Okay. So Mahu, you need to go to a modern Orthodox. Mahu Liskos. What is another pasuk of the definition? What is another definition of the word Liskos? Am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun, Mayin de Mismalalin Ba'alma. It's the Sikha from Lashon conversation. It's water that's going to be discussed throughout the world. That's the whole water. Everyone's going to talk about this. That's the type of water it was over there. Everyone's going to talk about this. That's where I thought that maybe it has to deal with, the recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu, something that everyone is going to talk about. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to continue talking about this river and talking about the pasuk in Zechariah. Right, the previous pasuk that we mentioned in Zechariah, right, was in Perek Yudal and pasuk Ches. This is in Perek Yudgimel pasuk Aleph. It says, "Vayomahu yeh makor neftach leveiz David uleshvei Yerushalayim lechatash lamida." Right, in that day there'll be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for purification and for sprinkling. It's purification. So the river is going to be used for the purification of those in the Beis David and the people living in Yerushalayim. So basically the question is, if the river can purify any member, why is it only being used to purify? Why is it only going to be a mikvah for Beis David and not for and the Yosher Yerushalayim? Why not for everybody else? So Gemara says, basically, it's not listing those who are fit to go into this mikvah, this river, to be purified. Rather, it's listing the various parts of the river that are going to be, and which functions those rivers can use. And we have to have certain water for certain types of functions. So, Bishmuel Bar Nachman, Mishnah Bionasan, he says, no. Mi Beis David, Va'ad Yoshvei Yerushalayim, right, from the actual dwelling place, from the castle, from the house of David, until the edge of the inhabitants, until the populated area of Yerushalayim, it's ksherim l'nidu l'chatos. The water in this river is, it's considered running, you know, spring water. It's running water, which is then useful. It's fit to be used for a nida, to go into mikvah, and for mechatas, for the spring water that's mixed with the ashes of the paraduma, to use for the paraduma. But from this point onward, mikan ve'elech me'ta'arobas heim. They are considered mixed water, right? They combine water, which is a mixture of spring water and of rainwater, which is fine for the mikvah, but not good for the mechatas, right? Me'ta'arobas heim k'sheim l'nida upsulim l'mechatas. So someone's anita can go and use them as mikvah, but you can't use the water from that point forward for the paraduma. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lazar says a little differently. Mi beis David by Yoshua Yishalayim, from beis David until the populated areas of Yishalayim, that's ksheru l'nida l'chatos. That is good for anida and for mechatas. Mi kan de'ela, but going from there forward, it's me kitafrisos hein. It's water that's run down to katafrisos, which is incline or slopes. Right, and therefore it's psul l'nida ulechatas. That can't be used for nida or v'chatas. Why not? Because rainwater, right, quoting the Rambam, rainwater that runs down a slope may be used for tefillah only once it collects in one place. Right, even if the entire full, even if it's 40 saw there. But while it's running down an incline, you may not use the salach, you may not use the water. So here, remember, I mentioned at the beginning, the Beit Hamikdash is on a slope. So it's coming down. At that point in time, all the water is considered rushing down the slope, and you can't use it. Rav Lazar says you can't use it even for a mikvah. Okay. Now going back to Yechezkel's nevuah. Ksiv. Pasuk says, Vayomer Eli Hamayim Ha'ele Yotzim El Haglila Hakadmona. These waters that are coming out towards the eastern region. So Ze Yam Shel Samchu. That is the Yam of Samchu. I don't know what it is. Right, these waters go out to the Yam Shel Samchu. V'yardu el Harava, and it continues down to the Arava, Ze Yam Shel Tveria. That must be the Kinneret. It's going up. It's going flowing north. River's going north. Uva'u Yama, and then when it came to the Yama, to the sea, Ze Yam HaMelech. That's the Dead Sea. V'el HaYama HaMutzaim, the sea of disgusting water. Right, this is considered the Ze Yam HaGadol, that's the Great Sea, which is typically the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, V'lama Nikmar Shmo Mutzaim. So why is it called Mutzaim? Right, Mutzaim also comes from the lesson of Hotzah, you know, taking out. Why is it called Mutzaim? Kineged Shtei Pa'amim Sheyatza. It corresponds to two times that this sea went out and just overran dry land. It came out. The sea overran dry land. Echa B'dor Enosh Ve'echa B'dor HaPlaga. Once during the generation of Enosh, and once during the times of the Migdal Bavel, I guess this, the water in the Mediterranean overran its area and went on to dry land. So Rabbi Lazar B'Shem, I don't know what this means. Rabbi Lazar B'Shem Rabbi Chanina says, how far did it go? Barishone Yotza ad Calabria. Rabbi Lazar said the first time it went unto Calabria. Calabria is actually a part. It's in southern Italy. It's a little north of Sicily. It's okay, they say here it's a normal sea barrier. It's the boot of Italy that sits out. So I guess that's where the water went out over there, causes some sort of barrier over there. And the second time, Bishnia Yotza ad Kifei Barbaria, and on the second time, it only went out until the Barbary Coast, which is in North Africa, right? What? I think they had Barbados then. The Barbary Coast, which is in North Africa, right? Anyone who wasn't Greek was a barbarian, so people lived over there were the barbarians, so it's called the Barbary Coast. Name stuck. Okay. Right, that's where the Berbers came from. That's everything, all from that. The Greeks used to call the Romans barbarians, and the Romans called everybody else barbarians. So that's the way. If you're not us, you're a barbarian. Okay. So, and then the Gemara says, Barbishon Yatsa Akivario, but okay, that's what Rabbi Lazar says. But Rabbi Acha B'Shem Rechina says, Rishon Yotza Ak Hefei Barbaria, the first time he went to the Barbary Coast, Ubashniya Yotza Ad Akko V'Ad Yaffa, went all the way to Akko and to Yaffa. So, Ad brings a proof, because it says, Ad Po So Savo V'Lo So Sif. Until here, it will go, right? Ad Po, you shall come, but no further. This is a pasuk in Eov. So, Ad Po, it says, sounds like Akko. So, Ad Akko, Tavo V'Lo So Sif. right? It's ad upo yashis bego ungalecha, and ufo yashis, right? Ad yafo yashis bego ungalecha. Your waves will go to fo yafo.
Are we talking about the words coming out of this?
No, now we're talking about why it was called why the Mediterranean was called Yam Mutsaim. Yam Mutsaim. Okay. Okay. Now, the Gemara before said that the waters of the river that are coming out from the Beis Hamikdash are going to reach four different bodies of water. It's going to meet you know, Yam Samchu, the Yam Tveria, the Yam Melech, and the Mediterranean. So now the Gemara asks, Nicha, it works out well, Yama Rava v'Yama de Milcha v'Shvil v'Miskan. It works out well, the river is going to reach the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. What it's going to do there is to sweeten them, because those are salt water, bodies of salt water, and it's going to sweeten them. All right, and then they can drink it. You'll have all this drinkable water. So forget about the aquifer in Israel. Just wait for Mashiach to come, and all the Dead Sea, everything will be drinkable. You'll have plenty of water, right? But Yama de Tveria, Yama de Samchu, but the Sea of Tveria, which is the Kinneret, and the Sea of Samchu. I don't know. What does he say the Yam Samchu is?
Samchu.
Yes. Right there. Okay. Right, their water is already sweet. So why is it? What's the purpose of the river going there? So he says the river's going there. Lirabos digasam. That the war is going to reach these areas, and these wars are going to get a bracha. They're going to have tons of different types of fish. You have a lot of fish, right? Dichsiv bay, because it's written somewhere, I guess in Yecheskel, limina tihei digasam, limine minim tihei digasam. That their fish shall be after their kinds, which will be there will be multiple different types of species of fish. Amar of Shimon ben Gamliel, Maisa, there was a story. One time I went shalati litzaidon. I went to. Sidon, I guess that means I want to fish them.
No,
oh, two actually to Sidon?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to Sidon. They hevi lefana yosem mishlosh meyos mina dugim b'samchu echad. They brought in front of me in one pot more than 300 different species of fish. Okay. Then it says v'nir pu'u hamayim, right? The pasuk in Cheskel says that the waters are going to be healed, right? V'nir pu'u hamayim, and pasuk I think continues b'tzasav u'givav v'lo yirafu l'melech mitanu. And the water shall be healed, but its places and its, I guess it's the swamps and the marshes shall not be healed. They shall give forth salt. So there's an apparent contradiction. First it says the waters are going to be healed, right? It says near food they're going to be sweet in Amayim. The atamart lo yirfu Amayim. They're not going to become sweet. So my answer is no. The lo yirfu is not that they won't become healed, they won't become sweet. It's makomhu. That's the name of a place. Ushmo leyu faru lo yirafu. That's the name of the place. So it says. The lo yirfu, the melech mitanu. I guess it's going where it means that the locations where they're going to be healed, and then the list of the places, it's a place called the lo yirfu. That's the swamp that's going to be healed. Ksiv, and the pasuk says continues. The al hanachal yale asifaso mize umize kol eitz machal lo yibul alehu the lo yitom piryo lachadashav yivaker. So it's written there, and by the river upon its bank, on this side and on that side, shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall its fruit fail, it shall bring forth new fruit every month. Right? Yitom period lechadashov yivaker. Right? I guess because of these new waters that are coming out of the base of Mikdash, the fruit is going to be so good, and the fruit is going to come forth every month. What does that mean? Yitom period lechadashov. So Tani, it was taught in a braisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'fisha ba'olam hazeh, in this world, Tvua osa l'shisha chadashim. A grain produces a crop 6 months after it is planted. The ilan osa l'shneimasar chodesh. And it takes a tree to produce its crop 12 months, right? But aval asid lavo, in the future, tvua osa l'chodesh echad, the fruit, the grain will produce crops in 1 month. The ilan osa l'shnei chadashim. And a tree will produce fruit in 2 months. So I guess that's what it says, Yitom Piri L'Chadashav, the 2 months. You're going to have these trees, it's going to be 2 months for them to prepare. So my time on L'Chadashav Yivaker. So what does it mean? Again, what does it mean L'Chadashav Yivaker? Chadashav is the plural, so that's double, right? So that says that the fruit will grow in 2 months. So Amar Rav Yossi, which is another answer, my time must mean, that is the reason why it says L'Chadashav Yivaker. Okay, so it is going to take, the wheat's going to grow in 1 month, and the fruits of the trees are going to grow in 2 months. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi has a different opinion. Right? The grain grows 6 months, the tree grows 12 months. Aval asid lavo, in the future, atfua osa lechamisha saryom. It's going to be split in half. It's going to go. He just goes. He's another 50% more or less. The crop is going to take 15 days. The ilan also the chodesh echad, and the tree is going to give bear forth fruit in 1 month. Shekei matzino, because we've seen this. Sheasa tfuah b'mei Yoel, in the days of Yoel, we saw that the produce, the grain, took 15 days. The karv meno omer. There was a day. There was a big famine. In Yoel, they didn't have time. Hashem says, plant, it's Rosh Chodesh, whatever time is. They planted, and then they had enough, and a miracle happened that the grain came and was ripe in time for them to actually, you know, bring the Korban Omer for it on Pesach. So the Gemara then explains, my taima, right? I guess this is, yeah, he quotes, this is where he's quoting, my taima, where's the reason? Upenei tzion gilu v'simchu v'Hashem elokeichem, ki nasan lechem es hamorel etzlaka, v'yared lechem geshem morel malkosh barishon. Right, this is, be glad then, your children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you first rain in just measure, and he causes the rain to come down for you, the first rain and the later rain at the first. Meaning all, the first rain and the last rain are going to come down during the first rain. And that's the Pasuk in Yoel, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and it's Gemara in Tainus and Daf Hei, that the Navi tells the people to go plant their fields, and they found seeds to plant the fields, and the second rains fell so quickly on the 5th of Nisan, and the grain ripened quickly that they were able to bring the Korban Omer on the 16th of the month. And so in the future, he says the grain is going to ripen that quickly as well. 15 days, the grain will ripen. So if that's the case, Uma Mikayim Rav Yosi L'Chadoshav Yivaker, in the months it will grow, like the other one said, L'Chadoshav means every, you know, it'll take 2 months and the fruit will be there. He says, B'chol Chodesh V'Chodesh Yivaker, that each and every month the tree will bring forth fruit. What's going to happen? You get have fruit coming off the trees every month. I guess this goes against those who said that Asi Lavo, there's going to be no difference. Ein Bein, which Shmuel says it, right? Or Ein Bein, this new world and the next world, Elo Shiva Machias Bolvad, right? So maybe.
1 second. Think about technologically. We do now, there's so they don't plant once a year, plant, I think, 2 or 3 times a year. You just speed things up.
Right, I guess.
A flood is coming.
You think you're saying it's all technology?
That's right.
Okay. Can't argue. The aleil the trufa.
I didn't think you would.
And then the pasuk says that the leaves are going to be for healing. The trufa is for healing, right? You get a prescription in Israel. You go. I think it's a trufa, right? Medication, right? Rabbi Yochanan Amar tarpei metzitz aleil the star of Mizona. Rabbi Yochanan said the word trufa is. It means that he's. I don't know. The word trufa is metzitz aleha. You're going to suck the leaves and vitarach mizona, and you're going to ingest it's what it is there. I guess that will give you the mud. Even the leaves, I guess, will give you the nourishment of the fruit. The leaves will have the same nourishment as the fruit. Rav Shmuel. So now Rav Shmuel, they said, Chad Amar Lahatir Peshul Ma'alam, the fruits are going to relieve those who have issues with the upper mouth, which I guess those who are mute. It's really those who have issues with the lower mouth. I would assume that those means those who are barren or unable to have children. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yossi, Yeshua, Ben Levi, same thing, to heal those who are barren, and one says to heal those that are mute. Okay, now we finished though. That's the gates that were on the south side. Le'umasan, and then the list of the gates go to the north side. Right, at Motzeh, so you have the north side, one of them was the gates of Yechonia, which we said, which was the gate where Yechonia left when he was taken to go to Golus. So the Gemara quotes a story. At Motzeh, v'sha'a sha'ala Nebuchadnezzar l'kan ba v'yashav lo bedofne shal Antiochia. When Nebuchadnezzar ascended to Eretz Yisrael, I guess to get rid of Yechonia, right, to remove Yechonia. But this is, okay, so he ends up sitting at the gates of Antioch. Antioch is in southern Turkey, northern Syria, towards near the Mediterranean. It was a very, very important location, especially during the Byzantine Empire. A lot of Jews were always there, and they had Jews from Antioch had connections with Eretz Yisrael.
It's
where the Syria goes towards into the Mediterranean. What?
Capital ancient Syria.
Isn't it Damascus today?
No. Damascus is
present day Turkey.
Yeah. Right, it's on. It's basically a couple miles off the coast of the Mediterranean. You can actually, if you want, they found the ruins apparently. All right, so at Motzeh, Ba'ashar Sha'alu Nebuchadnezzar L'kan Bav Yosha Lov Nofti Antiochia V'yotza Sanhedrin Lo L'krasso. So Sanhedrin went to meet him, the Amr Lo, and they said to him, He gives my Ba'is L'Hazel Yicharev. Nu, is it time? Hashem tell you it's time to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Amr Lahen, he said to them, O Sosha Him Lachti Aleichem Tenu Liv Ani Holech. He said, you know what you should do? The king that I crowned to rule over you, give me to him as a captain, and I'll go. That's, I guess, the Yehoyachin. So they went. So, Bova Amr Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda. They came to Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar Boilov. Nebuchadnezzar wants you. So, Kevon Sheshama Mehen, since he heard this, Sheshama Mehen Kach, Notal Matechos of Beis HaMikdash, he took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, Al Lagogos of Heichal, he went to the roof of the sanctuary, Amr Lefanov, and said, Ribono Shalola, Master of the Universe. In the past, we were trusted, we were faithful to you, and the keys, your keys, were given to us. Now that we're not faithful, we're going to give you back the keys. So Trey Amoron, there's a machlokes between two Amoron. Chad Amar Zirakon v'od lo yardu. He threw up the keys to the heavens, and they still have not yet descended from there. V'chad Amar, and one said, Bo'ak min yad unitalason miyado. And a hand came out and took them from him. Okay? So Kevon Shara'u kol chore Yehuda kein. Once all the chore Yehuda, he translates chore here as the nobles. Once all the nobles of Yehuda saw this, alu the rosh gago sehen. They went up to the roof of their the roofs of their houses, the naflu v'mesu, and they fell off, or they jumped off, and they died. Right? Hadohu d'ksiv, this is as it is written, this is in Yeshayahu, Perichav Beis, Masa gechi zayon, malach efok yalis kulach lagagos, teshuas mleyah ir homiyah. Right? It says, the burden concerning the valley of vision, what ails you now that you have wholly gone up to the housetops, you are full of uproar, a tumultuous city. Right, it continues that you were a joyous town, but it says that you people who were killed were not killed by a sword, rather they weren't killed by battle. It took, so Yeshayahu is talking about Yerushalayim, I guess the Valley of Vision. Gei Chizayon is considered Yerushalayim, that what's the problem that your nobles are not getting killed by sword, but they're falling from the rooftops. Okay. That is one of the what? Could be. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I don't know.
That'd be small words.
I don't know. Okay, next. Now. Will we go to 40 or 45? All right. Okay, we're fine. No, we'll be good. We'll be good. Shlosha asar shulchanos hayev ha-mikdash. There were 13 tables in the base of Mikdash. Shmona shalshayis. 8 of them were made of marble. Right, Shmona Shalshayis be Beis Hamitbachayim, and they were in the slaughtering area. The slaughtering area is on the northern side of the Mizbeah. Right, Kachim Shikatasam Batzafam. We're supposed to say that every day. Right, Shmona Shalshayis Beis Hamitbachayim. 8 of them are marble in the slaughtering area. Sha'aleim Madichin Es HaKiravayim. Upon them, they would watch the innards of the offering. Right, the marble was cool. The marbles, they didn't have refrigeration, and that preserved the freshness of the meat. Ushnayim b'ma'arav hakevesh. There were two more tables on the western side of the ramp. Echad shel shayish. One was made out of marble. The echad shel kesef, and one was made out of silver. I guess the marble one, they would put the limbs of the karbanos. It says al shayish nosim es ha'ivarim v'al kesef klei sharis. And on the silver one, they would put the vessels that they would use that day for the services of the day. That is, right, so that we have 10. Ushnayim bu'ulam mipnim al pesach habayis. And there were two tables in the entrance hall, into the ulam, right, inside the entrance hall, right near the opening, near the pesach habayis. Echad shal shayis, echad shal zahav. One is marble and one is gold. Al shayis nosnim lechem hapanim b'chnis haso. And the marble one, that's where they would put the lechem upon him when it first entered the Ulam, right? That was on Erev Shabbos, I guess. And they would take the old lechem upon what's coming out. They would put that on the gold, right? Shemali makodesh lo meridin. You have to mali makodesh lo meridin. So you coming out on gold, you go in the marble, come out on gold. Okay. And now we have one more. An echad shel zahav mibifnim shealav lechem upon him tavid. And one gold table of gold inside the ulam. That's always there. That's where the lechem upon him was. So. Yeah, since it's resting on gold during the week, when it comes out, it can't come out onto the marble one. It had to come out onto the gold table. Okay. The lechem upon him is not burnt. Right. You put it in one Shabbos, take it out the next Shabbos. So you put it in, on the way in, you put it down the marble one, bring out We have to process. The new one's in the marble, and the old one's on the gold. The old one then comes out to the gold, and the new one goes to the other gold. Okay.
But they slide it.
Onto the tables.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so the Mishnah mentioned, now there, again, like all of these Gemaras, there's Girsas here. We're just going to go with the Girsas that we have here. Right, so it says, Tani al shel kesef. Right, it said that the Lechem Hapanim was put on. Wait, one second, what's the Girsa that we have? What is the Girsa that we have? Tani, ours says Ashal Kesef. Bobby doesn't have it. I don't know. So there was a Girsa that said that they would put it on, that they would put it on silver, on a silver table, not a marble table. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Chanina, Matiba b'shem Rabbi Yochlan, less kan Kesef, it wasn't silver, b'pnei shu martiach. Because the silver would, because the heat of the lechem hapanim on the silver would cause the bread to boil and would cause it to get ruined. So don't say silver. We have it in our mission actually as marble. So our gears is fine. So Gemara says, wait a second. Who cares? It's the lechem hapanim never cooled down anyway. She's lo chein tani ze'echam anishim shenasu beis hamidosh shekashem sheminuchem osuchom kachay motzim osuchom shenemar lashum lechem chom milom hikla kachol. The bread was always warm, right? When they removed the bread after 7 days, it was as hot as it was when they originally placed it. So why would they consider about putting it on a silver table? It's going to remain warm. It's not going to be a problem with the silver. So it says, Rabbi Shimon Levi Omer, Ein Maskir Masi Nisim. Yeah, Ein Chanami, but you still have to do it the natural ways. You can't be so mechon the nes. You can do it the natural ways. So Ba'ud Komei Rabbi Ilah. Rabbi Ilah asked the following question. Okay? Oh no, or Ba'ud Komei Rabbi Ilah. Or they maybe asked this question in front of Rabbi Ilah. I'm not sure if he asked the question or the question was asked of him. Lo hayu sham lechem, ma hayu lahanicho with the Shabbos haba. Okay, we have bread on the lechem upon him, and the next week we don't have bread for whatever reason. Do we leave the current lechem upon him on the shulchan for another week? Okay, right. So on the one hand, the bread's supposed to be removed, so it could be considered nosar. On the other hand, since there's no new bread to replace it, so maybe it's not going to nosar until new bread actually comes and put on it. So ksiv, he said, Amar lo ksiv, v'nasata al shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. On the table, lechem panim should be there constantly. It should always be there. Lechem panim afilu pasul, even if it's pasul. I don't think pasul means really pasul because it was pasul. It's pasul, but I guess he's answering the question on this: that even if you don't have new bread, you leave the old bread on. Okay. Now the Gemara site quotes a brisa that discusses the shulchanos and says asara shulchanos aso Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 shulchanos. All right. I guess Moshe made one. Shlomo made 10. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, "Vayas Shulchanos Asara." He made also 10 tables. "Vayanach Behechal Chamisha Miyamin VaChamisha Musmol." And he placed them in the base of Midrash, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left. So now, what's the right on the left? You can't say again. Remember, the base of Midrash. When you walk into the base of Midrash, you're walking east to west. So the length is east to west, and the width is north to south. That's the width. So you can't say if he puts it on the right and the left, you can't say that he lined up the shulchanos on the north-south line. That can't be. Right? Ein tamar chamisha b'dor v'chamisha b'tzafon, v'alo ein ha-shulchan kosher ela b'tzafon, because the shulchan must be on the north side. So if he's running them, right, if he's running them this way, across, well then you have 5 of them are going to be on the south side. That's a problem. Right? Because the pasuk says, namar es ha-shulchan titein al tzel tzafon. You're supposed to put the table on the north side. So ma tamar lomar chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mishmol mismol. What does it mean 5 on the right, 5 on the left? El chamisha miyamin shulchan shel Moshe v'chamisha mismolo. It's all on the north side. You had Moshe's left table in the middle. 5 were to the right of that table. 5 were to the left of the table. 5 were east of that. 5 were west of that. That's all. But it was all on the north side. Abba became, even though he made these ten shulchanos, lo haye mesader ela b'shel Moshe b'lvad. They would only place the bread on the shulchan of Moshe. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, es hashulchan, the hey idea they're going to focus on, I think. Hashulchan, asher alav lechem hapanim. On that shulchan, that's where the bread was. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omri says, no, akulan hayim esadar. They would put the bread on all 10, or it's actually all 11. Shneamar, es hashulchanos va'aleim lechem hapanim. On the tables on which there was the bread on them. This is plural. They were on multiple tables. Okay. Tani, we learned in a brisa, Mizrach u'Ma'arav hayu nesunim divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that the tables, both the tables of Moshe and the table of Shlomo, were positioned east to west in the northern part of the Heichal, so their length went parallel to the length of the whole Heichal. Right? It's going the length of the Heichal again is east to west. Right? And he says these two are also east to west. But Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Tzafon, V'Darom, Hayunasunim. They were placed north to south, which means they're placed across the width, which we said, so Gemara says, Man da Amar Mizrach Umarav Nicha, right? Kulhein Ru'uyin L'Sheiros. Okay, according to the one who says that the table, each table was used for the bread, so they all have to be on the north, running north to south. So that's fine. So according to Man da Amar says north to south, that's fine. You can use all the tables, because they're all on the right, on the correct side, the north side. The Man da Amar Tzafon V'Darom, one says they went the width of the Heichal, going on the, from north to south, Nimsa Shulchan B'Darom. They take up Menorah Tzafon. You end up having the Shulchanos are on the south. So the question I think would be two ways. Either that means that those Shulchanos can't be used, or once the Shulchanos are set up in a way that some can't be used, none of them can be used. So it's a big problem. So V'Hatani, then we have a Braisa that says, V'Shulchan Haya Nasun Mechatzi Abayis V'Lifnim, Mashuch min hakosach shnei amotz umechza klapei tzafon umonora kinegda b'darom. So the shulchan is on the north side and the menorah is on the north side and the menorah is on the south side. So how can you have it set up that the menorahs are running all the way across? I think there's a gemara I think in Yomah discusses this and it gives an answer that they were in two rows. They didn't run all the way across, but they were in two rows, right? The Yerushalmi doesn't answer that. Yerushalmi doesn't answer that. Okay. You know, this continues. We'll pick it up over here. That's going to be the question. The question is going to be, according to Smaid Amar, how is it possible you end up having the shulchan on the south side, which is a problem because the shulchan has to be on the north side. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good Chodesh.